the Lord Jesus help me declare independence from alcohol and drug addiction.
Praise God. Wow, great word. Great word, Donnie. Amen. Soon to be Walker. Believe it or not, they're getting married on the 4th of July in 2 days.
All right, all right.
And,
good day. All right. I'm sober. I'm still alive. That wasn't because of me. That was because God gave me the opportunity to make that choice.
Praise God. Wonderful. You'll get to be able to say something if you raise your hand. Yeah.
You know, it's really strange that my husband would mention something about the very words that I said the day that I was baptized years ago. I said, I thought all day what I was going to say that evening when I was going to be baptized. When I got up there, I couldn't even think of anything that I had prepared for. So this is what I said. I said, I know what I was, and I know what I am now. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I am made a new creature in Christ.
Praise God. Wonderful. Good word. Praise God. Amen.
The Lord, He's magnificent. He's amazing. I was addicted to drugs. I drank myself to sleep every night. And that was 41 years ago that I got saved in front of a TV set watching the 700 Club all by myself. And I give him all the glory. He's been just faithful and firm and solid. No matter what I did, he come drag me back.
Praise God.
And it was, his name is wonderful, and he's wonderful to me. Amen.
Wow, good word. Good word.
The song that says it all for me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He put me on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my heart today, a song of praise. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
My testimony isn't very exciting, but when I was a little girl, about 6 years old, I received Christ in my heart. I felt the Holy Spirit drawing me to Him. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit along about that same time. And when I was little, I would sing the song, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon a Rock." The foolish man, I can't remember what the foolish man did, but he didn't build it. He built it on the sand. And that's been kind of my life testimony, is that I built my whole life since I was 6 or 7, and now I'm in my 60s. I built it on the Lord, and He has been my stronghold and my provider and my guide. He's been everything to me my whole life, and I just wanted to give testimony to that.
Well, I'll try and keep it short. I did 6 years in the United States Army, did a tour in Afghanistan, and I grew up in church, but during my time in the Army, it was kind of like my college years. You know, I was living for the weekend, stuff like that. But when I came back from Afghanistan, I was a little messed up, and I really didn't know it, because I didn't feel like I experienced a whole lot. And I had severe paranoia. I would lock all the doors and the windows. We had baby gates leading up the stairs to our bedroom, but I just couldn't sleep at night. I would take both my kids, they were babies at the time, put them in the bed with us, lock the door, sleep with a loaded shotgun in my bed. You know, I was just holding onto the shotgun, staring at the door, waiting for someone to come in and try and do something to my family. Just totally irrational. But that was in there, you know. And I battled that for a long time, trying to handle it on my own. And then I remembered who I was and who my first love was. And I said, God, you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. This isn't of you. Take it from me. And 11:30 that night, I haven't dealt with it ever since. And that was about, 10 years ago.
Wow, praise God.
Really quick, when I was in high school, Sharon and I probably wouldn't have been friends because I was the nice kid. And my mom even attests to, Shane was a good kid growing up. But looking back, I was so rotten and disgusting on the inside. And I just had to put this on the outside so that I didn't get in trouble, so everybody thought I was a good kid and all of that. But to look back, and I was very shy too. There's no way I could have done this when I was younger. But he has completely changed me, and I'm so head over heels in love with him that I can't not share with you, share with the people I work with and the world around me how amazing he is.
Amen.
I can recognize the shyness part for a lot of years. I grew up in church my whole life. My dad was a pastor off and on. And I wanted to do everything that I was never allowed to do when I grew up. And so I got into alcohol, did a little pot. That's just not the life. It seems like the life to begin with, but it's not. So in 1995 in Calder, I gave my life back to the Lord, and I was able to, with his help, stop drinking, stop smoking, and started coming to church here. And we drive back and forth every day from Calder, Janice and I. You know what? I realized even now to this day, after Janice died, there is no reason not to be bold and stand up for Jesus. And I do. Everybody I come in contact with, you need to know Jesus. That's the most important thing in your life.
My name's Ryan. I've been battling drugs and alcohol for my whole life, and the Lord set me free. It's been 6 months since I had a drink, smoke a cigarette. I mean, and I feel great, and you know, the Lord's the second chances. So if you're out there right now and you still drink or you still smoke, just give it time, and it'll come. So it's the longest I've been sober since I was 12 years old. So
right.
So I've got a little teamwork here this morning. The teamwork that's with me is going to help me from the sound booth. I pay them big bucks to do these things. They are amazing what they do. And so thanks for all your help before I even get started. And I'm probably the one that will get them sidetracked and wonder what they're doing when they're actually on the right track. So I want to put a small disclaimer to this, and that's this thought. If it's in the Word of God, then why would we have to take and want to tiptoe around every area that we think somebody else would want us to tiptoe around? I believe that when the Word of the Lord is there, and it is God's Word, thus saith the Lord, then we should honor it as the word of the Lord. Yes. Am I right?
Yes.
And I don't know, I think I know a lot of you how you feel on this, but this is not the day. This is not the day to now begin to decide that you're going to take scissors and chop, 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 chop to the things that you don't want to have in your personal life. Or because maybe Aunt Matilda didn't believe it. Or maybe somewhere down the road, you just kind of picked up a different idea. This is not the day to do that. It's the full counsel of God that we must have. And it's the full counsel of God that we must keep close and dear to us. I really believe. And so, if nothing else, I pray that it'll always be said that in this house that we have a great hunger for truth, with a capital T. Amen. Now, you might as well get rowdy now, because I'll probably pull it out of you if you don't get rowdy. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Capital T truth. That's what I'm looking for in you. And so thank God for that. This morning, I'm going to ask if you would to start with me, and I'm going to ask you to go to, this is not Mount Might, don't put it up yet. You guys are amazing. You even knew what I was thinking, even when my mind couldn't formulate the words. That's awesome. I want you to do this with me, though. I before my team puts this up there, I want to take you to a couple places, and I want to read these places to you. 2 Kings chapter 6. Did you ever hear the song that they made up about the words of the Bible and starting in Genesis, and you could sing them all the way through? Did you ever, how many ever sung that? Did you? Does it still help you? My problem is I have gaps in my song, my music now. And but when I get to Kings, Chronicles, and Chronicles, I always remember those four together. I know that you were interested in that, so that's why I told you. 2 Kings 6. Let me just read a little bit of the scripture to begin to set a little bit of the stage. Chapter 6, 2 Kings. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "Behold, now the place where we dwell with you is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, to Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there that we may dwell." And he answered, "Go, go, go, go." Verse 8. I'm going to skip down. The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place will be my camp." And the man of God said unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware." Now get what's happening. The king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, is telling his generals, this is what we're going to do. They made a plan. They were going to sideswipe. They were going to ambush the king of Israel. That's where we are. Verse 9. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." Now that's interesting, because the king of Israel gets this report from the man of God. Don't go there. Pay attention. Stay away from there, because they are going to do what it takes to take, and they're going to sideswipe you, I call it. They're going to take you, and your life will be over. Verse 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him and saved himself there not once but twice. So this happened repetitive. Verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria. Now this is interesting. The heart of the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, is now sore, troubled. He's irritated. And he's thinking to myself, "I set my very best soldiers up. I had those that had the finest ability to shoot the arrow, whatever it would take. When the king was coming by of Israel, we were going to take him out." It says in verse 11, it says, "And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?'" So in other words, what is he saying? He's saying, somewhere in my group of leadership, there's a rat. And somewhere in my leadership, they're taken and they're sending the word back to the king of Israel, "Don't you come by here, because if you do, you'll be taken out." And he's pretty upset at this. Verse 12, "And one of the servants said, 'None, my lord, none of us are rats.'" I put the word rat in there, King James didn't. "O king, but Elisha, the prophet, that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. Now, I don't know about you guys, but you might want to be careful what you say at home in your bedchambers. You might want to be careful what you say in your living room when you and your mate are sitting there and you've decided to pick up another offense. And so now you're both offended. You need to be careful driving in your car, and then all of a sudden you decide you're both going to take and talk about so-and-so and so-and-so. And the pastor. Be careful. What am I saying? I'm saying that the king of Syria is irritated and ticked, and he says, you guys, somebody is telling the king what I'm about to do, and I know it. And finally they said, oh, king, live forever. It's not us. But there's a prophet in the land. And his name's Elisha. And he hears from God. And he hears what God has to say about the matter. And what you've been saying, even in your bedchambers, about taking out the king, he sends a bird. He speaks through the prophet. And it's true, O king, live forever. Now, is that not a strange story to you? What a great way to start church, huh? Verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is, where the prophet is, that I may send and fetch him. I mean, he's so ticked, he's now going to bring the prophet in. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Verse 14, therefore he sent hither horses and chariots, a great host, and he came by night. Man, he doesn't want Elisha to get away. And they compassed the city. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early. Now, this is not Elisha. This is Elisha's servant now. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host had compassed the city with horses and chariots and so on. And his servant said to him, let me paraphrase, Elisha, did you look out the window? Can you see all around us? There are horsemen. There are men that draw bows and spears. There's an army outside our place. That's what he's telling the prophet. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Verse 16, and he answered and he said this, fear not. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that are with them. How do you know this? And Elisha prayed and he said this, Lord, I'd like to just ask you if you'd help me out a little bit. Would you open the eyes of my servant that he can see 20/20? And Elisha prayed, verse 17, and the Lord turned to the Lord and opened his eyes, and when that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses, chariots, round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed, Lord, and said, smite this people. Or he's saying, should we smite them? Let me stop there. The rest of the story is fantastic as well. But what happened is that honestly, at this point, Elisha says, son, you need to see what God's up to and what God can do, even when you can't see. So this is what your heart should have known. This is what you should have known inside, is that God has already plastered the mountains, and he has put chariots with angelic beings, and they are full of all types of swords and spears that have come from the heavens, and God has surrounded us literally by his holy power. And there isn't anybody we should fear this day, including Ben-Hadad. Amen? Do you realize in this story what I'm really saying to you? I want to tell you what I think. The Old Testament stories were put there not only to give God glory, but to also to be able to show us and very clearly of the things that can come to pass in our day, and how that they can be very genuinely real for us in this generation. And I just want to tell you that in our house today, that God wants us to know that He is a faithful God. And He has prepared Himself the same way. I'd like to say that very likely, this is really close. This is really close to what I would say is like the work of discernment, the discerning of spirits. And it was not discerning the evil spirits that were out there and the soldiers that Ben-Hadad had brought there. But God is saying, I want you to see my spirit activity. I want you to see the angels. I want you to see what I have done. And I have surrounded you. You know, when we think about the gifts of the Spirit, how powerful they really are. Think about this. When they said to him, you just better shut up, O King, live forever. Don't even talk about what you're going to do next because the prophet will hear it. Is it possible that even in the house of God, that God can speak to some of us with a gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom through discerning of spirits, and we had no idea what God was preparing to speak until He spoke it? Is that possible? Forgive this, because some of you on a Wednesday night has heard me as I've taught some things. But I remember the story of a church. It was on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. And there had already been a prearranged setup between this really beautiful lady and the guy that's with her. And they were going to go into that church, and she was going to turn them inside out. And she was going to so deceive them that somehow that when they were all done, she would be able to speak and share some, and she'd take an offering and get a love offering, and she would split. She had it all set up. She went into the church service. From what I can tell, this is a true story. Went into the church service. She sat in the service with this guy. And all of a sudden, when it's at a certain place, she begins to speak eloquently and to tell people certain things. And to tell people what God can do in that house and what He wants to do in that church. And if they would only trust her, she'll give more information and bless them and help them through, and they'll see great victories. All of a sudden, when that was happening, a little lady on this side of the sanctuary stands up, and she turns and faces her face to face and says, I know who you are. And through the power of the gift of discerning of spirits, God has spoken to me, and this is your name, and this is why you came here, and this is what you came into this house to do. And that woman was stunned. Yeah. Absolutely stunned. She left. She would have had a tail have been between her legs. That's supposed to be funny. Can I say anything funny? Listen to me. We've relegated ourselves to where our church appetites are very seeker friendly, to where everything that we want is just friendly for me. And everything that I need is just for me. And I want to be so in church to where I just get all that I can get for what I need. And I'm thinking, yeah, I want you to get what you need. But that's not the essence of why we're in church. We're here because of our deep hunger for Christ and our love to and adoration toward Him. And we're here also because when He begins to speak through the Word or by any mode that He wants to speak, we need to be at attention and say, Lord, here am I. We need to be able to practice these signs that follow those that believe and to watch what God will do in the house of the Lord. Listen, I love and appreciate you. This is in no way to be derogatory as a statement at what I'm saying. But I want you to know something. We are preconditioned, many of us, so we don't want to have anything that has any kind of a little bit of a quake or a shake or something that can go just kind of like against a little bit of what I think. And God is saying, wait a minute, do you not know what the devil hates? He hates two things on this planet. He hates Jewry. He hates the devil, or the devil hates Israel with a passion. And he hates my body because it is the fullness of me, the body of Christ, and he hates it. And what would he love to do but to cause chaos, cause confusion, cause it to be destroyed? He doesn't want it to succeed. He doesn't want us to have new, fresh joy and the joy of living. And so what happens is that we begin to feel like, Lord, I've just got to feel like you're the only one, and I just want to just have everything perfect in my life. Listen, there's nothing perfect when you go outside those doors. So why do we think that inside the doors that everything is perfect? This is why in the scripture that we have been given in marvelously, we have been given marvelous different points of how we regulate gifts of the Spirit, how that we are to regulate Paul did at the Corinthian church and to put order back into the house. Everything that he taught to the Corinthians, and even in the epistles, he did it in this way to edify the church. And what does edification mean? It means that we walk in order. Say order.
Order.
This is what God intends. This morning, I read that story because I wanted you to know that even in the Old Testament, God was already performing what would be like a word of knowledge. And the prophet would take it from God and speak it to the king. God was already showing what would be like a gift of miracles. When Elisha said, "Son, just open your eyes now. I've prayed for you. Don't doubt anymore. Just believe that even right now, that God is still God." And when his eyes opened, he saw a mammoth, massive, powerful army from heaven, and there could be no more doubt. You see, God doesn't want us to be doubters in this life and in this generation anymore either. He wants to show us how much power he really has and what he can do. Amen? So I have one more place I want to take you, and I want you to go with me to the book of Luke, please. Did I tell you earlier where I want you? Does anybody want to tell me where I need you to go? We could practice gifts of the Spirit. For some reason, I've mislocated my spots. I apologize. Should not let that happen.
Are you looking for Luke 11?
I don't think so.
24:28.
Pardon?
Luke 24:28.
I just find out. No, folks, I apologize. Those are great scriptures. I can tell you what I wanted you to see and what I wanted you to understand is that twice in the book of Luke that Jesus said, he said, they will hate you and that they will take you and they will lock you up and incarcerate you. Watch me. And Jesus says, at that point, don't think what you will say. Don't worry about what you will say. He says, it's at that moment that the Holy Spirit will give you a word. Say a word. He will give you a word of wisdom. He will give you a word of wisdom. There will be knowledge and it'll flow from you. You don't have to worry about at all what you're supposed to say. How many's ever read that before? And I'm thinking how amazing that passage is to me, because it's like we have a tendency to think, well, how can anything like this happen to us? I'm in the 21st century. This kind of thing isn't real. What? If Jesus said it and it's red letter in your Bible, it's real. And when I look at what Jesus is saying, he's saying, don't worry, because my spirit is going to put in you what to say as you stand before this wickedness or this tribunal or this council. You will know what you need to say. You don't have to have any doubt. So therefore, based on that same concept, I don't struggle at all that God can let the gifts of the Holy Spirit also flow in His church on a 24/7 basis. Isn't that true? So will you allow me to, I shouldn't say allow me, because you know I was going to do it anyway. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? So I'd like to read this. Can you make it out? Can you see the words? Yes, Pastor, I can see them. Thank you so much. I'd like to give you in simplicity this morning three of the original nine gifts of the Spirit. And so if you'll allow me to start reading. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. And I love the word ignorant because I have a tendency to look at that word going, he doesn't want me to be dumb. That's not what it means. It means having a lack of knowledge and understanding. I do not want you to be ignorant and not have learned. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols. And Paul is not only calling them idols, but he says they can't speak either. However, you were led. Verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Can I invite you to go back in reverse on verse 3 again? Listen, because we are just about ready to invade for a few minutes a very amazing, amazing place that Jesus is Lord of and the Spirit of the Lord works diligently in. So look at verse 3 again. Therefore I make known to you, Paul says, that no one, say no one, speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. What does that mean? That means that nobody in this room can say that Jesus is accursed and has no more ability and he is not the Son of God, the door to heaven. If we would call Jesus accursed and a cursed thing, it will never come from the Spirit of God. It will come from the Antichrist spirit. It will come from darkness. It would come from my neighbors across the street that are in the occult, but it will not come. I don't have any neighbors here, so don't misunderstand me. But neighbors that would be in the occult that would call Jesus accursed. And then it says this. It says, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Is that amazing? I just want to tell you that if you're here today and you've truly not surrendered your heart to Jesus, you can't do it unless the Holy Spirit helps you to do it. You might think, no, I'm going to give it another year or two, or I'm going to give it five. You know, when I'm about this old and I've got this in my life now, you have no guarantee of that. The Bible says, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord unless he says it by the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's pretty awesome. Verse 4. There's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Isn't that awesome? There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. You see the Trinity? And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Do you know what the word diversity means? It means grace or graces. When you look at verse 4 and it says there are diversities of gifts, it's saying there are varieties of grace. There's a grace called prophecy. There's a grace called healing. There's a grace called by the Holy Spirit called miracles. There's a grace called a word of knowledge. A grace called, And as you go through this, you discover that he's saying there's diversities of gifts. There's various, various wonderful parts of grace. And it is all meant for us through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Do you realize that if you were in this house and you had the grace, or you had the ability for healing to flow through your life, and you don't have it, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives it to you and uses you at His will? Do you understand that you have been extended to this house as a point of grace? Yeah. You have been extended to this city as a point of grace. Do you realize that if miracles flow predominantly through your life because God wants miracles in this generation of such darkness, you and I have actually, we've become then points of miracles, which are really points of grace. And that's like a grace act. And that's what the Bible is saying, that all of these various gifts, they're all diversities of grace. Grace, grace, grace. Amen. Got a question for you. How many like the idea of knowing that there are wonderful gifts in the house of God? Yeah. How many of you would love to have at least one more marvelous gift flowing through your life? May I see your hands? How many would like to have three? Do I hear four? Do you understand? I don't know if the Holy Spirit allows a person to have all nine. But if it happens, it's through Him. It's not through you. It wasn't because of the pastor. It's because the Bible says that we are to covet and to seek after the best gifts. And if someday you can write a book and say, I've had all nine, you need to write it. I'll buy it. It's pretty incredible. I'm just telling you how exciting this is to think about that what we're dealing with here. When I go to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11, and I think my sound booth is following me. Let me read what Paul says. He goes on. He says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, now by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. This is very important, verse 11. Even though you went through these and you started looking at all of these wonderful gifts that the Holy Spirit deposits in the body of Christ, I think verse 11 is almost as noteworthy. But one and the same Spirit, do you catch what it's saying? There is only one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Isn't that awesome? So you need to remember, it's not a denomination that gives these. It's not how long you've been licensed, credentialed, or whatever, like me. That's not how it works. What it works is that the same Spirit works all of these things. And He gives them forth to each one individually as He wills. How many have children here? Oh, come on. How many have children here? You know what? Don't we want to give to our children things according to our will? We do. Because it's the devil right now will say to you, listen, you're not worthy. I can tell you right now, and he says, would you look at verse 9? Look at verse 10. You're not worthy of this. And I have to say back to him, who tells me I'm not worthy? It's you. We are worthy because Christ has made us worthy. Amen? If you are in the house of the Lord this morning and you need to be put to work, there's a lot to do. All I want to say is this. Oh, how I want to put you to work. But the second thing is this. The Holy Spirit also wants to distribute to you according to His will that you can begin to do greater things than you ever thought you could see because He's faithful. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can you say praise God? How many would say what I just read to you in verses 8 through 11, that is absolutely the scripture? May I see your hands? Do you? May I also tell you something? That if you're not careful, when you are in Christendom, you can be deceived. Did you know that one of the nine was left out of that passage? Did anybody pick it up? It says this in verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, comma, to another discerning of spirits. I left discerning of spirits out. And the whole church goes, yes. How many of you like that? I do, Pastor. How many wants these gifts? I do. How many of you know that there was a piece of scripture left out? You didn't see it. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to tell you something. Oh, we live in a day of darkness, deceit, and evil. And this marvelous gift of discerning of spirits, this must be one of the first and foremost that I think must operate in the house of God. To be able to speak to us and to give us insight if there's something that we've missed. I don't know. I just think this way. And you don't have to think like me. But I think it's possible for people to come in and out of life-giving churches. And they bring with them deception. And they bring with them rebellion of heart. They bring with them things that they would love to help deposit in that church that has nothing to do with righteousness and holiness. And I'm thinking, you know what? Better that you know it immediately than to wait a long time before that thing, it germinates, and all of a sudden there's great problems in the house of God. Right? I feel like I'm pulling this out of you, or you're trying to pull it out of me. I just want you to know that this that you're reading before God is one of the things that He loves for us to follow. This is in His book. Paul gave it to the church at Corinth. They abused it. They made some tremendous mistakes. I think they were actually doing things that was in a competitive sense. Rah, rah, rah. I've got this. Rah, rah. I've got this. Rah, rah. And they were doing things with gifts they should never have done. These are precious gifts of the Spirit. And when I look at them, it takes me to my next slide. I want you to see this slide if you will just follow it with me. With the Lord's help, the next couple of Sundays, I just want to give us these. This morning, it'll take me just a few minutes, I want to do the revelation gifts. I want to bring to light what is hidden. So in other words, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, these three gifts that are in Corinthians 8 through 11, these are revelation gifts. They reveal to us. They help us see. My brother, please. Understand, my sister. Why would the Lord allow it to be in His word if this is not important to Him? Why would He say that the church should know this if this is not something to know? Why is it something that you and I should take and put in our back pocket and go, only when I want to? No, that's not what we do. Because when the Spirit of the Lord begins to take this and manifest this to each one of us, that the entire body can profit from it, you and I cannot hold back. Amen? Amen. All I can say is that some of you, God wants to use in prophecy. He would love for the word of knowledge to be able to be understood and to be used periodically. Not every service, not every time we get together, but sometimes. Some of you he wants to use with power gifts to where there will be a miracle, there will be a healing, etc. Some of you he would like to catch the attention of the house and say, I have a word for you with a tongue that can only flow unless with an interpretation with it. And so I'm saying to you, these are gifts that he wants us to have. And we need to straddle this and to believe it. The second is the power gifts, which is faith, gifts of healing and miracles. The third is the speaking gifts. Speaking gifts audibly, like speaking in tongues, interpretation, they have to be together when they're corporate. We're not talking about personal prayer language or the altar weeping before God. But prophecy, these are three speaking gifts. We communicate audibly and how wonderful they really are. So I'm going to now follow some of my slides just so I can finish them up here. These gifts are given to the body of Christ that we might know and understand the mind and the will and the purposes of God. We probably say, well, I've got the Bible. I don't need anything else. That's true, except God decided to give us something else. And these were these marvelous revelation gifts. Here's one thing they always will do. They will always bring glory to Jesus. Do you believe that? Should they not bring glory to Jesus, they should not be an operation or manifestation in the house of God. And if they persist not to bring glory to Jesus, then they need to come probably to the pastor's office and we'll talk about it. Because we can't do that in God's house. It must bring glory to the God of heaven, to our Lord Jesus. Can you say amen? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And next slide, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Excuse me. That's in the New Testament, isn't it? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning verse 12. I'm beginning verse 12. My slide tells you 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That is so awesome to think that God has not only given his son for us, but he has also given us things that are freely given to us. Isn't that amazing, church? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, kind of like apples to apples. It's not saying the Holy Spirit compares his work with earthly work. It doesn't say that. He compares what he's doing with who he is, apples to apples, oranges to oranges. Then in verse 14 it says, but the natural man receives not, say not. No. The natural man receives not. This is why somehow some of you today might be struggling with what I'm saying to you. You're going, Pastor, I'm not really sure I understand all of this. It's because you're not receiving it. You're receiving it in a spiritual sense. You're receiving it in the natural sense. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Oh God, help us not to live there. For they are foolishness to him. However, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I just want to read that verse again. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness to him. So it could be some of the things I'm saying is foolishness to you because you receive it in a natural sense. Then he says after the semicolon, neither can he know them. In other words, we can't even know these things because they are spiritually discerned. So what I'm talking to you about now, what I've been talking to you about this morning, these nine gifts trying to bring you into the light to understand that they are to be lived and they're to be literally not glossed over, but to be in our lives. These are spiritually discerned. These are things we pick up in our spirit, man. We read it and we know it. We see it in the Word. We understand it. When we pray, it's like God is making it alive to us because it's spiritual, spiritual discerning. Amen. I need to go 2 Corinthians 11. You don't have that on your PowerPoint, sorry. 2 Corinthians 11. I didn't necessarily have this prepared to say a whole lot, and I started reading about it. And the more I read about it, the more it really grabbed me. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 3. But I fear lest at any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not already received and should have, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, you might as well know that you are dealing with false doctrine. Now, there was a whole lot of stuff in them two verses. Church, listen. It says that Eve was beguiled. I started thinking about that, and I thought, wait a minute. Up to this point in time, she and Adam had been made, literally, had been made by God's hands. There was no sin in them. She became the fulfillment of Adam. And God was pleased now with all of creation. And yet she stands at a forbidden tree with forbidden fruit. And the Bible says that the tempter, the serpent, say serpent, beguiled Eve. Now, I couldn't hardly wait to get into some of my, I went to my concordance. I think I know what beguiled means. I had to say, Lord, what happened to her? And it says this. I fear, Paul says, lest at any means, as the serpent beguiled, it means to deceive greatly. She wasn't just a little bit deceived like, oh, here it is. You need to take a bite. He greatly deceived her. What am I trying to say? I'm saying, church, is it possible when you look at the body of Christ today in the 21st century and all that we see in the world, is it possible that we need of the nine gifts? Is it possible that one of them ought to be the gift of discerning of spirits? Because is it possible that we could somehow be greatly beguiled? That we could be greatly you knew what that was, right? I was not speaking in tongues. That was me. And I fall in that place all the time. I don't know why I think faster than my tongue can speak. Oh, I know. It's really none of your business either. I know. That's just the way I am. Are you all doing okay? And it says that she was greatly beguiled. I think that this proves again to me why that this marvelous gift of the discerning of spirits must be in my life and in the life of the church. Go to the next slide, please. The discerning of spirits reveals the kind of spirit working behind a person. That little story I told you of the lady who came in, and she was going to talk smooth, get everybody to like her, and she was going to do a little bit of teaching, preaching, take some offerings, and go down the road with church money. Sometimes we need to know what's behind a person. Right. How many agree with that? I do too. Let's just be honest. I don't know what you think, but I hear more and more politician jokes than I've ever heard in my whole life. And they're not all funny. You know what? If we really knew what was behind some of the politicians that we voted for, we probably wouldn't vote for them. And we need to know that in God's work, it's the same way. Distinguishing between the spirit of God, Satan, and human spirit. This is amazing to me, because what God has given us in the house of the Lord is a gift that can tell us if it's a satanic spirit we're dealing with, a human spirit that we're dealing with, or an angelic or a godly spirit that we're dealing with. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's important to me. You might say, well, why do I have to know if it's a godly spirit I'm dealing with? Because sometimes I just may not have it all together to recognize. Did you know the Bible says that sometimes we need to be aware because we entertain angels unaware? How many has ever read that before? How many has ever entertained an angel and you knew it? 1, 2, 3. How many think you've entertained angels and you just couldn't keep up with it? You don't know. How many wouldn't raise your hand for anything? You know something? If it's true what Jesus said, that we have the ability, and we do, some of us, to entertain angels unaware, is it not possible that maybe even through the gift of discerning a spirit, I need to know that? That I might honor that angel? I might honor that voice that's speaking to me because I know it's godly? I just want you to know that these are amazing things we're dealing with. Go to the next one, please. Next slide. Reasons for the gift: to help deliver the afflicted, to uncover darkness, to expose error, to test obedience to the gospel. Next slide. I want to shift to the word of wisdom. How many think it's a good idea to have a gift called wisdom in the house of God? Reach over there and kind of go like this and say, and it's for you. Go like that. Nah, I wouldn't do that. Now go ahead anyway. Yeah. You know, to think about this gift in the house of the Lord, it's a supernatural understanding. I hope you catch this. It's a supernatural understanding as to the wisdom of God. How many has ever consciously taken the first 8 chapters or 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs and said to yourself, I'm just going to read it. I love it. There's so much in the book of Proverbs. Only to come away with almost every passage and every other part of the book of Proverbs from chapter 1-1 to up about 9 or 10th chapter is full of this. Is full of the wisdom of the Lord. Have you ever read that before? Is full of wisdom. Sound wisdom. Let not my wisdom depart from your mind and from your heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call her understanding like a kinswoman. And we go on and we go on and we go on. I love the 8th chapter and the 9th. Doth not wisdom cry? Understanding put forth her voice. Wisdom, she stands at the top of high places by the way that people come on the paths into the cities. She cries at the gates in the entry, even of St. Mary's, at the coming in of the doors. Unto all men, I, wisdom, I cry, and my voice is to the Son of Man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be in understanding heart. And I can go on and on and on. Am I making sense? Do you hear me? This is wisdom that it appears is wisdom that you and I can say, Lord, I lack wisdom, so give me and upbraid not. And the Lord says, I'd be happy to. But I want you also to know that I can give a word of wisdom that can surpass anything that you've ever imagined. And it's my word. It's my word. Think about this. Did you know the Bible says, I love it, one of my favorite places. It says, of wisdom I lead in the way of righteousness. I'm even in the paths of judgment. Man, do we need that in Washington, D.C.? That I may cause those that love me, wisdom, to inherit substance. And I will fill their life with treasures. And you're saying to me, oh man, pastor, give me that verse. I need to hear that verse. And then it says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of my way. Do you know what that means? This is what I think it means. It means that the Lord actually possessed wisdom as he started to speak the cosmos into existence. The Bible says that he names the planets. He names the solar system, the stars by name. Did you know that? He names them. Who was with him when he did this? It says that he possessed wisdom, and wisdom stood beside him as one that was growing up to be there and to be part of his great creation. In God's house today, our church, we must believe in this marvelous gift of wisdom. So I was, I came across this. I want to give this to you as well. The word of wisdom. It is a divine answer or a solution for a particular event. Wisdom in itself is forward-looking. Say forward-looking. Forward-looking. Wisdom doesn't look this way. That would be a word of knowledge. The word of wisdom looks this way. And it plants in the heart of men to believe God for great and awesome things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't usually have any need to go to a lawyer. Every now and then, I guess I do, or sometimes I go for other people. If I went to the lawyer and say we needed to have a little bit of something done about an easement, no, not an easement, say somebody has got a real yappy dog in my neighborhood, and my dog Dewey is about ready to go out and take care of it. Why are you laughing? There's no spiritual gift called laughing. That's just a temperament. And so I said, I'm going to go see the lawyer. I want to find out what to do about this yappy dog. And I go in and I sit down with the lawyer. And I get 30-minute audience with him, Steve. And he tells me, here's what you do with a yappy dog 200 yards behind your house. This is what you can. This is what you can't do. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. I pay my whatever. I won't tell you how much. And I leave. I got to tell you something. What he did with me, he gave me a piece of his wisdom. And it was only about that big. If he said to me, oh, Pastor Lynn, sit down in my office. I've got 30 days open. I'm going to tell you everything that I can tell you as a lawyer. Sit down, I'll have the food brought in, and we'll just have a great time. Let me tell you everything that I know with wisdom. I would tell him, you're nuts, and I'm out of here. But think about this. That's how it is with God. God says, let me just give you a piece of wisdom. It's a gift, and it's just for you. And it's designed to me now, extended to the body of Christ. And the Lord would never say this, you know what, you got 30 days? Let me tell you more about what I know about wisdom. Can you imagine? As he's running through the solar system, as he's running through the planets, he decides to stop and just, let's talk about, the galaxy a little bit further. No, Lord, I can't handle anymore. That's how it works. So, I don't know why I've not thought about this before. Hey, Shane, do you mind? Can I have that right here just for the last about 3 minutes? Do you know, I've thought of this, but I never put it into complete action. The gift, literally, the gift of wisdom and the gift of the word of knowledge, they could be spoken gifts if it was in the right situation. But I don't think that's where they're always intended to be. I think there are spoken gifts like tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. That's where they're meant to be. But these gifts, they're revelation gifts. And what do we do with them? We apply them where they need to be applied. Sometimes it's to a pastor. Sometimes it's to elders. Sometimes it's to our mate. And we're saying, I don't know where else to go with this, sweetheart, but I'm going to share with what the Holy Spirit showed me. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And I'm just saying that sometimes this gift of wisdom, this word of wisdom and word of knowledge, it isn't always something that's designed to be stand up and we just tell everybody what we think we've heard. So we pay attention to that. This is not anything new. In the years I've kind of taught along some of these thoughts, I have two favorite pies. I have apple, if you feel led. And, I mean, these are my two favorite. No, I won't tell you the second. Should I tell them, honey?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, honey. I'll just keep it right here with apple. We'll see what happens. You know, if I'm looking down from the top down on an apple pie, you know, there's just little doodads in it. I don't know what those doodads are, but they're there. And I say to Pastor Shane, I said, hey, would you like a piece of my pie?
Yes, please.
So I'm going to give you just a piece. In fact, I think I'm going to call it a word of pie. Or a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And I just want you to understand, I will give Shane this piece right here. I'll move it out. I'll put it on the plate over here for him. You know what I'm talking? And I'll send it to him. He got a piece of my whole. I'm telling you, when you think about how big God's whole is, when you think about how big God's ability to declare and know and understand wisdom is. And he said to himself through his spirit, he said, I am going to deposit in my church a gift. And it's the gift of a word of wisdom. And that wisdom can be used whenever they have need in the church, because I have all the wisdom that's needed in my life for the body of Christ. Amen? And if that's not enough, he's got another pie. And this one's known as a word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. And this word of knowledge is kind of like where Paul stopped in the street. And he said to himself, let me just be what Paul was doing. He stopped in the street, and I think Paul just kind of went like, and in his mind, he's saying, I know. Through the discerning of spirits, that little woman, that little damsel is possessed. And he's saying to himself, I'm going to need the power of a miracle right now. And he turns and he points to this young woman and he says, enough. And he casts the demon out. And she just kind of crumbles, I think, on the streets of Philippi. What happened? Paul knew exactly what was going on, and he said, I've had enough of this demon riding me all over this town, trying to make out I'm something special, taking away the glory from Jesus. And he took care of it right there. I'm just declaring to you, that's how God works again. And you know what? If there is knowledge that you and I need, he will give us out of his whole. He'll always give us that piece, that part of a word of knowledge that will flow among us. Our board has had to wrestle a little bit with the idea of this
refrigeration thing, and we've had about three or four different estimates and things like this, and it's a lot bigger than I can tell you about. I'm not convinced what's the answer. We've had Ed helping us, the board's helping us. So it's almost like I'm saying, God, maybe we need a word of wisdom. God, we maybe need a little bit more knowledge. Speak to us, Lord. And God says, I love to give, and I upbraid not. Amen? So let me close. Got your Bibles? If you do, close them. Can I go to 1 Corinthians 12:11? Is it? Do you have it? I'd like to close with this verse. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. And don't be afraid of His marvelous gifts. Trust Him. And if you desire these to be working in your life, it's my prayer that you will allow Him to distribute, that you will grow and mature in wisdom and in knowledge greater than you've ever been. Amen? Church, don't stay the same. Don't stay the same. Paul warns us that we are to be leaving children land and become, ultimately we would become mature, no longer drinking milk, but strong drink. And that's where we are. Keep growing in the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Stand, please. Jesus, I love you. Father, I pray that God, you would help us as a congregation. God, don't let us be benign and be a beautiful tree and no fruit. Let us not guard or not speak of others and how their bow looks. God, may we be diligent about what you want us to be. Father, may we absorb and to bring the nutrients of your Spirit. May we begin to feel the fullness of your attention that only a master gardener can give. And I pray that, Lord, as we continue to look through these, and next week we look at the gifts that are full of the power and the authority to be able to heal and to perform miracles. God, I pray, do great things in us. As we bring faith to the table next week, may faith be something, Lord, that's off the charts when we leave. But today, Father, thank you. Thank you for these gifts of revelation. Revelation, Lord, to be able to see, to know the error, to expose obedience, to know what's there, to be able to have gifts of knowledge and of wisdom. So, Lord, in this house, make us amiable and willing. Give us more than we've ever known. Put it upon us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people together said,
Amen.
Amen.